humanity. All humanity. What is our duty toward all humanity? What did Jesus do? Jesus loved him personally. The Bible states that God is no respecter of persons. Mary Baker Eddy certainly did tell us that everything should be impersonal, and the first thing we need to do is to get rid of a sense of personality, but instead cultivate a sense of divine individuality. Is that what is being done? Only we can answer it for ourselves. We cannot answer it for anyone else. Mary Baker Eddy states that we will be kept plenty busy taking care of our own affairs without meddling in the affairs of anyone else. Are we walking on water? Are we perfect in everything we think, say, and do? If we're not, we need to work on cultivating our own consciousness so that every thought, speech, and action will be in accordance with the standard of God, which is perfection. Mary Baker Eddy begins Science and Health, the textbook of Christian Science, which is titled Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, with these three quotes, which is really laying the groundwork for what the textbook is all about. The first one is a saying that Jesus made to John in John chapter 8. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The second one is a Shakespeare quote which states, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. The third quote is from Mary Baker Eddy, and it is the following. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest. Thou here and everywhere. This indicates that there's a three-step process. First of all, we shall know the truth and realize that if we do, it will make us free. Free from what? Free from all restrictions and limitations of the belief that life, truth, and intelligence is in matter. Because we will be realizing that everything is in spirit, that spirit is the only substance. Spirit is infinite. Therefore, as long as we believe and understand that spirit is our only substance, we will be open to pursuing the infinitude of God. No limitations. The second step, by Shakespeare, says there's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. What is our thinking going to be? Are we going to be realizing what step number one is telling us? That ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Are we going to study that? Are we going to pursue what that really is telling us? Shakespeare tells us, if we are pursuing good, then we're going to experience it. Nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And Mary Baker Eddy is telling us in the third quote that if we do step one and do step two by focusing our thought on the truth, then we will be blessed. And that is God's desire. That is God's mandate for us to be following the truth. And she says, thou here and everywhere. That means that we will omnipresently be benefiting from this high ideal. Nothing is ever lost. The benefit is omnipresent. We don't have to go looking for it. It will automatically be blessing us. Jesus was always praying and teaching others about God. He was constantly instructing his disciples. He taught 4,000 on one hillside and 5,000 on another. He taught them that there was no limitation to their need by supplying food. Daniel and others prayed consistently. Daniel prayed 3 times a day as specified, even knowing that that was risking his life, because the edict from the king was that if anyone worshipped anyone but the king, that they would be thrown into a den of lions. He was protected. He did not have to worry about being chewed up by the lions. Their mouths were closed because he was living the life of truth. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego also faced the fiery furnace because of their dedication to God. John faced a pot of boiling oil. They finally decided they couldn't kill him, so they exiled him to the island of Patmos, where John was blessed with Jesus showing up in the flesh and dictating to him the book of Revelation. John was the only one that was loyal to Jesus. Wentworth Winslow was sued by the medical profession because they were fearful that they would go out of business, because here was a man that was healing without drugs, without any assistance at all from the medical profession. And the judge actually condemned Wentworth Winslow for doing this and said, you will have to stop doing this. And Wentworth replied that no one could stop him from praying. Mr. Rawson, Frederick L. Rawson, one of the greatest healers of all time also, had the same problem. If it wasn't the church that was condemning people for being successful healers, it was the medical profession. Joel Goldsmith, the same thing. He had 15-minute appointments. At the end of 15 minutes, every one of his patients were healed. He did this for 16 years, and finally the other practitioners in Boston, which is where he had his office, right across the street from the Mother Church, and a lot of other practitioners had their offices there, they were getting no business because they were not being able to heal. Mr. Goldsmith was able to heal everything, and in 15 minutes' time. So finally they all got together and went to the board of directors, and they said, you got to make this guy leave town. He's taking away all of our business. We have no income. And stupidly, that's exactly what happened. He was forced out of town. So what did he do? He went to another state and eventually started his own company, the Healing Ministry. that was very successful. And there are people today that still follow him. And we have his publications on our website, the Mary Baker Eddy Institute website, which is mbeinstitute.org. Very, very fine individual. Very successful. Frederick L. Rawson was mentioned. One of the many books that he wrote was titled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. And that includes 1,315 different ailments and the counterfact that will help you to heal the problem. Mary Baker Eddy states that we must know what the problem is and we must affirm the specific counterfact of truth which will heal it. He gave us an encyclopedia doing 90% of the work. All we have to do is apply it. We have to spiritualize our consciousness so that we can take in the truth. We have to do what it says in Genesis 1, to let. In every one of the 7 days of creation that is mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, extending to Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, is that we have to let. And after it says that, it says, then God created. So we had to let it into consciousness. We have to open the door. If we have the door tightly closed, we cannot gain anything from the truth because we're not going to let it in to our filthy consciousness of materialism. We have to cleanse it. We have to bleach it clean with the truth. We have to get rid of all the blackness and let in the light. It is darkest before dawn. We have to be letting the dawn come into our consciousness so that it can influence our thought, speech, and action. Jesus said that thinking evil is the same as doing it. Anything that is ungodlike is evil. Are we thinking about money? Jesus overthrew the tables of the money changers who were trying to make money off of the people coming into church. They were trying to sell various things so that people passed by their tables before they entered into the sanctuary. If we're attending church so we can solicit the members, we're starting off on exactly the opposite foot. Solomon said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, our need will be met if we focus on God. Remember the first step, the first quote, prior to the other text in Science and Health, states that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It doesn't say, focus on how you can make money or focus on how you can get this material thing or that material thing, and then everything will be okay. No, it says the opposite. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Are we approaching things backwards? We have to know the end before we can begin. The end is that the beginning, middle, and the end is turning to God, first, only, and last. If we have a need, it will be met. But if we think about the need, we will get nowhere. We will be wasting our time. Chapter 18 of Science and Health is on the title of fruitage, and those are 85 people that Mary Baker Eddy verified their testimonies before publishing them. And those 85 different people include 485 different ailments that were healed. Nearly everyone had multiple healings while they were working on just one. But they didn't even have that one in thought to any major degree, because their thought was on learning what God was, what man is, and what is the relationship between God and man. They were convinced that there was something out there somewhere that was better than what they failed with, which was relying on the medical profession, relying on drugs, or relying on smoking or drinking to escape the problem. They had to open their door of thought to the truth, and they studied with all their heart. And when they did, all these things would be added unto them, which was healing, things that they weren't even thinking about, but were problems that they were suffering with. 485 different problems healed from 85 people because they were not thinking about the problem, but they were thinking about the solution. They were going to God first, only, and always. The formula is simple. Go to God first. If you lose something, don't go around the house or your office or wherever you're looking. Maybe a walk where you took and see where you lost it. Go to God first. Think about God. Think about what God is, knowing that God is all-knowing, all-intelligence, all-wisdom. God is all-creative capacity. God is all-capacity, all-facility, all-capability. God is all-action. God is the only substance, which is spirit. God is the only sense, which is all seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. But it's out of the substance of spirit. So it's spiritual seeing, spiritual healing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. God is all principle, which is all system and structure. There can be no foundation unless it's based on divine principle. Divine principle is self-operating. It is all harmonious. It is always in balance. How about life? God is our life. Life is eternal. How could it be anything but God if it's eternal? Certainly a mortal sense of life is not eternal. There hasn't been anyone that has died and stayed dead. You know, Jesus went through the experience, but he wouldn't stay there. He refused to stay there. Others experienced it also. Bicknell Young experienced death by drowning. He brought himself back to life. Mary Baker Eddy, after she passed on and left the note that God is my life, was seen walking around the house by some of her top students that were living with her in the house. The ones she was teaching Christian Science to and giving them the designation of CSD, Doctorate of Christian Science. She was coaching them all day long on how to live Christian Science. How to control the weather, electricity, how to control everything about their own life, their own thought, speech, and action. Mary Baker Eddy raised Calvin Fry from the dead. Due to malpractice, they tried to kill him. She said, "Wake up, Calvin." He woke up. Wentworth Winslow raised a boy from the dead. Other ones that I haven't mentioned have probably done the same thing. But they didn't do it because they were relying on some kind of a device that was pumping electricity into their heart. The way to have eternal life is to understand that life is from God. It is not from matter. It's not from a material sense of heart. It's not from blood, nerves, or anything else. Certainly not from brain. It is from God. God is the life of everything that exists. If we see a beautiful tree, we should exclaim that the life of that tree is God. We see a beautiful rose. The beauty of that rose, or any kind of a flower, is from God. God is the life of everything beautiful. In fact, God is the life of everything that exists. God is truth. Truth is consciousness. Consciousness is awareness. Are we conscious? Are we alert to recognizing all of the good around us? Mary Baker Eddy specifically stopped throughout the day multiple times to make sure that she was only thinking good thoughts about everything and everyone, that she was not letting any mesmerism of failure or evil enter into her thought. Her consciousness had to be clean, and she was throughout the day doing a reality check to make sure that that was what was in her thought. She specifically prayed three times a day for all humanity. I may have mentioned that previously in this recording, but she did. She was accused by the press of being prayerless, not praying at all. She didn't argue with them. She replied by making an announcement to the press that she prayed three times a day. She said she turned her face toward the New Jerusalem. This is where the children of Israel looked. They looked to God for their supply. They were instructed by God not to store up things in advance out of fear that they would run out, but their every need would be supplied when they needed it. When they were walking in the hot sun, they were provided a cloud to shade them. Everything they needed, they had. They were walking through the desert for years and years until they were cleansed and ready to recognize the kingdom of God. Are we going to open our thought? Are we going to let the truth enter? Are we going to be interested in working toward cleansing the lie upon lie that has been compounded about mankind? Are we going to pray for the benefit of all mankind? If we're not following the example of Jesus, Mary Baker Eddy, and others. Mary Baker Eddy points out the fact that it's very important to be joyful. Wentworth Winslow, every morning when he got up, he would sing hymns. That would be his introduction to the day, to put his thought in the right frame of reference. Spirit, not matter. Abundance, infinitude, not limitation. Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progression is concrete being. Concrete being a symbol for permanence. Concrete being with a capital B, that is being in the kingdom of God. Mr. Rawson says we should be thinking about perfect God, perfect heaven, perfect man within the kingdom of God, and not anything less. He says one way to pray is to immediately deny that any problem can be real. So he would say something like, there is no, and then he would state whatever problem seemed to be confronting one. And then he says, immediately jump into what God is, what heaven is, what man is, what is the relationship between God and man. That's basically following the edict of Mary Baker Eddy. She says we have to recognize what the evil is. We have to deny it can have any power. That's what he did. He said, there is no. So he had to identify it first. That's why he gives us that encyclopedia of 1,315 different ailments. I mean, anything you can think of is listed in there. Don't study all 1,315 of them, because that only embeds in thought all of the different mesmerisms of mortal mind. If you have a problem, look it up. Just look up that one thing. And there might be references when you look it up to other ones that are related to it. And you look those up in that encyclopedia, which is in that book mentioned. All the tools have been given to us by these workers over the years, over the decades, over the centuries. It's been over 100 years. We have two centuries involved, the 1800s and the 1900s, in addition to the century we're in, the 2000s. About 173 years or so, 175 maybe, since 1866, we've been given things that we can learn from. And of course, the Bible has been there for a long time before that. But what happened in the year 325 AD approximately was the Council of Nicaea, N-I-C-A-E-A. I believe that's the right pronunciation. That is when the governments all got together and decided that they were going to be controlling religion. That's why America was formed. All these people were trying to burst out and worship the way they wanted to. So they came to a foreign land expecting to start a new country where they could be free of the suppression and oppression of the kings and queens and everybody that was dictating to them what they could do and what they could say, how they could think. It worked out for a while until finally they were successful in starting our civil war, pitting blacks against whites, north from south, and so forth. So we ended up in a very costly civil war, and we were broke. So we went to them and borrowed money. Oh, they gave it to us with pleasure. All we had to do was give up our freedom. They've controlled everything about America ever since. Our patent office, our elections, changed our constitution. It was supposed to be temporary, but we've never gotten out of it. We're still under a constitution that was created by the foreign powers from which we were trying to get away from so that we could have freedom. We haven't had freedom since. We did a treatment on this. It has the word constitution in it. I don't remember the exact title, but it shows the two different constitutions, side-by-side comparison, the original versus the new one that was instituted by foreign powers. They set up a corporation to control America. I'm not going to get into it further in this recording, but it is obvious, and it should be to everyone listening, that prayer for all humanity is not only good to do. If we don't do it, we will be headed into what Mary Baker Eddy prophesied. If we don't stand up and do what we should be doing, and that is that we will go into a period of dark ages that will be longer and more dreadful than any that humanity has ever experienced. What are you doing? What am I doing? What is everyone individually doing to combat the evil that is trying to swallow America? Already, one of the three-letter agencies has put out a dictate that anyone that talks against the present administration, which is fraudulent, is deemed a terrorist. How about that for freedom of speech? Most churches are controlled by a 501(c)(3) regulation because they all wanted to have a tax-free situation on their income, so they gave away their right to be able to do what they want to do as a religion. The Mary Baker Eddy Institute walked away from it. It is expired. If you make a donation to the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, it's because you want to make it, not because you want a tax deduction. It means you want to support truth. You want to support a website that is promoting truth, promoting independent thinking, promoting self-regulation, which really means being regulated by God, by the commandments, the Beatitudes, in fact, the entire Sermon on the Mount. The disciples asked Jesus what was the most important commandment. He says, "Thou shalt love God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." And he says, "And the second is like unto it." They didn't ask for the top two commandments, but he connects them. He says, "The second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Are we doing that? Are we loving our neighbor as ourself? I watched a movie the other night called Pay It Forward. And I was inspired to do a recording of a treatment the next day. And it's on our website. It was posted yesterday, as a matter of fact. November the 13th, Monday. And there was a young boy that was in the seventh grade of school. The teacher had assigned them all an assignment that was to last for the whole year. The class was in social studies. And the assignment was to think of something that you can do to change the world and do it. And this one young boy, who really had a giving heart, because he had already done some things that it showed later in the movie that he had done before he even thought of this. But his idea was to give something to three different people that would help them solve their problem, help them in whatever way that they needed to be helped. Three people. And when you did it, you tell the individual that they now had a responsibility to help three other people. And he quickly showed the class that if you do that to three people, you're going to be helping 12 people. Three, you're going to help yourself. And each one of those are going to have three other people, which is going to add nine more. So you're going to have 12 people that are going to be helped out of a problem. If just one person does that, what do you think Mary Baker Eddy was doing when she was praying three times a day for all humanity? How about Daniel? What was he praying for? I can't help but think he was probably praying for the same thing. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They must have been praying. Certainly John was praying, or he wouldn't have been entitled for Jesus to appear to him on the island of Patmos and dictate the book of Revelation for him to share with the world. Remember, that's the final book of the Bible, at least in the King James Version. That's like the final word from Jesus, talking about the kingdom of heaven, talking about the city four square. By the way, on page 146 of Science and Health, beginning line 31, Mary Baker Eddy says the following. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. I believe she's referring to disease as any dis-ease, any discord, anything that is ungodlike. Not just something that is labeled with a name that is a disease. She's not saying to forget about sin or to forget about death. Anything that is unlike God, I believe, could be classified as a dis-ease, a discord. Chaos, the opposite of harmony, the opposite of perfection. If anyone considers himself a Christian Science that is listening to this recording, are you aware of that sentence? Have you studied to try to figure out what is she talking about? What is the system that she refers to that she gave us? These treatments teach the system. In this recording, I've already mentioned the seven synonymous terms for God. Mathematics, music, every major topic you can think of has a system. Chemistry, architecture, they all have a system. Preparing a delightful meal by a homemaker or a chef, very definite system. Running a family, running a household, raising children, they all have systems. Every business should be operating by a system. Every nonprofit organization should be running by a system. Every event, a system and a structure. That's what principle is. Principle is system and structure. The elements of math are 0 through 9, the digits, 10 digits. Music has 8 notes that are on the white keys and 5 on the black keys, which are the flats and sharps. 13 notes altogether. And it has all kinds of things that are part of the structure and the operators that tell you what to do to have beautiful music. add, subtract, multiply, and divide are the operators for mathematics. The digits by themselves mean nothing. But if you apply the operators to them, then they come to life. What does the word 10 mean? Nothing. But if you have 10 cattle, or you have 10 whatever, $10, 10 ideas, 10 friends, then you're multiplying the object, which is the friends, or the ideas, or whatever, by the number one, so that you have 10 ideas. But just 10 by itself, without having any object attached to it or relating to it, means nothing. The same with mind. Knowing about mind means nothing unless you relate it to an action. Mind includes intelligence. Are you going to be intelligent in the decision that you're going to be making? Are you going to be intelligent in the way you're comparing things to decide what is the best way to go on a particular activity? The operators are required. Now, the four operators for the system of divine metaphysics are the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science. These are defined in the book of Revelation. It's called the city four square, or the city of God. The Word means the definition of God. What is God? What is God all about? What are the features? What are the qualities? The Christ means the translation or the interpretation of whatever comes our way. Mary Baker Eddy wrote a letter to one of her students, and it's entitled Vision. And she says, are you able to focus on whatever comes your way? In other words, no matter what mesmerism tries to distract you, are you able to focus on the truth? Are you able to focus on reality? Are you able to focus on what God is? Are you able to recognize, realize, and let in your thought that God is the only mind? God is the only power, the only controller. There's nothing else that has more power because God is omnipotent. Omnipotent means one, only, and all power. Infinite, without any limit. That's the Christ. Translation. Translating or interpreting what comes our way and relating it to what God is. The third one is Christianity. Christianity is what Jesus brought us and demonstrated, and that was proving that God is the only power, that we can face and solve any problem that comes to us or that we observe and help someone else with. He saw a blind man as he was walking down the road. Did he ignore it? Or was he like the Good Samaritan? Did he do like what the priest did and walk on the other side of the road and other travelers? Or did he purposely go by the person that was in need and help him out? Did we do what that young boy did that was in the seventh grade of school and pay it forward? Did we help the individual solve his problem? Did we do it to three different people today or ever? Did we ask them to also help others? Don't pay you. Don't give you compensation for what you did. Help others. Let it spread out. Let it revolutionize the world. If we ever needed it, boy, we need it right now. Or we can do like one wise man said, that the difference between success and failure is that the intelligent individual sees a need and he solves it, whereas the ignorant one ignores it. If we ignore a problem, it will compound itself. That's exactly what humanity is experiencing now. Mary Baker Eddy says that our life is dependent upon lie after lie that has been compounded. That's what humanity is, a material sense of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. It is living a life based on letting lies be ignored, and they compound themselves. All we have to do is be passive. If we're passive, that's failure. That's failure. It's absolute failure. It's being ignorant. Just like Mary Baker Eddy says in her article, There Is No Matter, which begins on page 31 of Unity of Good, one of her 16 books. Are we going to ignore a problem? Mary Baker Eddy says to square off every day to solve any problem we have. Settle our accounts promptly. Don't even think about going to bed when you've got a problem. Solve it. We will have enough to deal with tomorrow, because the belief of mortal mind is constantly attacking truth, trying to mock it, trying to make it look like it is good when in fact it is evil. Evil tries to clone itself as truth, but it has no foundation. But we have to be alert. If we're not alert, we will think that evil is good. Look at the mainstream media. They're announcing, all of them, they're announcing the same thing. It's like they're all reading from the same piece of paper. And that's exactly what they're doing. Big effort to get into a World War III so that the military-industrial complex can make billions and billions and billions of dollars. We've already totally stripped $1 trillion and sent it over in a money laundering operation to a country that is corrupt from beginning to end. And we're trying to say, well, this is necessary because we have to defeat another country, which just happens to be one of the best countries in the world. If you want to start a new church, go to that country that they're trying to destroy. You can start a new church easily. They are promoting Christianity. America is trying to destroy Christianity. They've taken the commandments off of all the courthouses which were put on there. They're trying to ban the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. They're trying to destroy a concept of God. They're trying to prevent people from even meeting. And they certainly have taken away the freedom of speech. Is there a need to pray for all humanity? If one has listened to this recording and they say, no, there's no need, then you're a lost cause. No use going to our website. No use listening to any treatment that we offer, because you're too far gone. You're too much asleep. You have to have your head pounded on a few times by failures before you will wake up. When you wake up, you're welcome to come back. Hopefully, there's enough that want to wake up or want to be awake, want to do something, and not just be passive and let evil compound. We have to peacefully and legally defend our country. Bring it back to a country of independence, to the first constitution, which gave us freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and so forth. And the best way to approach that is to pray according with what has been stated in this recording. We're given all the tools, Mary Baker Eddy Institute website, offers all one needs. We even teach you the system. Mary Baker Eddy states very clearly in the Scientific Statement of Being, I believe it's on page 468 of chapter 14, Recapitulation, where it says, what is the Scientific Statement of Being? And she says, there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is His image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Use that statement and substitute for the word matter any ailment that you're faced with. And substitute the word man with I am spiritual. I think you will find that it's effective in bringing about healing. Don't just do it once and forget it and say, well, where's the miracle? You have to transform consciousness. You have to do it consistently. Every time the problem comes to thought, follow that procedure. Many years ago, I had a growth above my right eye to belief. It started out just being a little bump, and then it grew and grew and grew. I utilized that Scientific Statement of Being in the manner just specified. I did it every time I went in the bathroom, whether it was for taking a shower or any other reason, brushing my teeth, whatever. Whenever I went in the bathroom, I utilized that time to state the Scientific Statement of Being by substituting the words in the method that I just mentioned. After a few days, instead of growing, the bump started going down and it disappeared. No scar. I didn't think about it for many years later. I've mentioned it a couple of times in these treatments in the last 6 months, only because I thought it might be helpful and the thought occurred to me. Otherwise, I never think about it. But it was effective. Like Shakespeare says, and quoted by Mary Baker Eddy in the second quote at the beginning of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, there is nothing, either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. In the first quote, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the third one, oh, thou art blessed. I was blessed because I was knowing the truth. I was changing my thought by pouring in truth. And the result came. I went to God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Anyone can do the same thing. That's just one idea. One way that one might approach it. All the tools you need are at mbeinstitute.org. God is all in all. God is all there is. Amen.